good news, good news, good news. The gospel brings us good news. To save from sin's penalty, Jesus did die. To save from sin's power, he liveth on high. To save from sin's presence, he'll come by and by. Good news, good news, good news.
Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your speaker today. It's John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and we're going to come to you today with a message from the Word of God. In fact, I may say that one of the most important messages found in all the Holy Scriptures. To be exact, I'm going to cite to you today the three most important words that were ever uttered. Now, that'll give you a little time to think before we turn to the passage. I wonder how many of you can anticipate what we're going to read and say, yes, I know right offhand what the most important three words ever uttered were and what they still are, thank God. Well, shall we read together in the Gospel by St. John, chapter 19, and we'll read together, please, at verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, or dismissed his spirit. Now I repeat once again that that three-word phrase, "it is finished," are the most important words that were ever spoken. They were not spoken in heaven. They were not spoken on earth. They were spoken on the cross of Calvary, when our Lord Jesus Christ had been lifted up by wicked hands between the heavens and the earth. Now, there are two things that we must associate with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The highest possible expression of human hatred is found there. Opposed to that, we find the highest possible expression of God's love, all told out at the place called Calvary. Now I'm going to ask you to stand with me, as it were, right under the very shadows of the cross. And I wish it were possible to read this chapter in its entirety, beginning at verse 1 and reading right through to the end of this same 19th chapter. And I'm sure we may well take the words to ourselves that were once spoken to Moses and then to Joshua. Take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And I want you to gaze with me, if you will, at that man on the middle cross, the holy sufferer, the holy spotless Lamb of God. And you may ask yourself the question, why was he there? You know, the poet puts it in words like this. Why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, why from his side flowed that sin-cleansing blood? If his dying my debt has not paid. Now, come to the words again, if you will. It is finished. It is finished. He did not say, "I am finished." Now, these words are indeed extremely important. They're important because they were uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, a great many men in this life have had busy lives and have accomplished a great deal, but usually, you know, when people leave this scene, they leave unfinished business. But not so with my Savior. And so when we read that expression, "it is finished," that was the end so far as he was concerned. He had performed one miracle after another, and he said on one occasion, "For what good work do you stone me?" But all the works and miracles our Lord Jesus Christ ever performed here upon this earth could not have accomplished redemption, could not have satisfied the claims of God's throne that had been outraged by man, his creature's sin. There was only one way that holy throne could be upheld and its claims righteously met. And if it's to be met, it must be met by the Savior himself, by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the death of the Son of God then, shall I say, first of all, was to meet God's holy claims, to meet them in the fullest possible manner. And then at the same time, on righteous ground, to be able to go out to the vilest offender that simply believes, to bring eternal redemption, eternal salvation, eternal forgiveness to all who rest in his accomplished work. Oh, I thank God for those precious words. And you know, listening to me today, my friend, you are not required to add to that perfect work one iota, not a jot, not a tittle. It is accomplished, finished to the satisfaction of God, a holy God. So that men and women now get saved, not on the basis of works. You know, it's as natural to think that we get saved by works as it is for water to run downhill. But when you come to the Word of God, you find that the very opposite is true. We get saved not by our works, but by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I let further stress the work that he accomplished when he was upon Calvary's cross. You know, he was alone, left alone to die. Even his own forsook him. You could expect what you see there on the part of the unsaved, on the part of his enemies. But even his own, those who have been reached and saved by the grace of God, apparently they too turned away. But you know, I like to think of the cross of Christ, as we've been telling you. That's the highest expression of the love of God. And I'm sure when he said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," he was thinking of those ones who drove those nails ruthlessly and cruelly into his tender hands of love. And I'm sure he was thinking of those who had schemed to take his life from him, for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Stricken, smitten of God, God's well-beloved Son. But we're happy to be able to tell you that the work is finished. Now, I'm confident that there are some hearing me today who may still be earnest seekers and who may be searching after what would give you rest and peace in the matter of the salvation of your souls. In other words, you'd like to know just how you could stand in the presence of a holy God, clean every whit, with all your sins forever put away. And maybe the false notion you have had up until the present time is that you have to earn his favor. You have to do it on the ground of works. You have to do it on the ground of some sort of merit that you bring to him. But that's contrary to the teaching of the whole Word of God. Now look, if you are required to bring something to complete your salvation, then the words of my blessed Savior, the words that we said are the most important three words that were ever uttered, then they would be uttered in vain. When he said, "It is finished," that is to say, he procured for us, for all mankind, eternal salvation, and now he offers to all who trust him everlasting life. It comes as a free gift. For he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." But I want you to think now of a very, very exceedingly precious portion that's so similar to what we have been stressing. And it's found in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Who being the brightness of his glory," referring to Jesus, "and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Just think, the upholder and the sustainer of all things. And at that very moment, the very life that his enemies were, so to speak, exhibiting and enjoying, if they were finding any satisfaction and joy in it, it was being sustained by the one whose very life they were taking. And he was dying on a cross of shame, in order that he might, bring to mankind everlasting life, not that he might restore man back to the Garden of Eden to a state of innocency from which our first parents fell. No, no. But that he might bring to men and women forgiveness of all their sins, life everlasting. In other words, he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And oh, it's his desire that that abundant life might become yours and yours right this very day, right at this very moment. We can say life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. And so, if we understand the Word of God right, and we're sure that that is the import, the true significance of the passage that we have been stressing, when Jesus said, it is finished, a sinner is not required to add anything to that perfect work, but to rest in the accomplished redemption and salvation purchased by the Son of God. Take from him the everlasting life that he gives, and then you'll be able to understand, because you know there was none could share with him, none could enter into. It took a sinless one to procure salvation. It took a sinless one to become the sacrifice for sin. And so our Lord Jesus Christ did say, he says, I lay down my life of myself, no man taketh it from me. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority or the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. And I wonder if you have rested your soul, your all, for time and for eternity upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished, yes indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? And oh, would you say that what he accomplished is not enough? I'm sure it is. Listen, the death of Christ on Calvary's cross, and that death would have been necessitated if you were the only sinner in the world. He still would have had to die in order to bring to you peace and rest and joy and salvation. And when you come to the end of yourself to see that all your doings are but deadly doings, and it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And if you see your helplessness and hopelessness, I tell you what you'd do. You'd come to him today and trust him and be saved with an everlasting salvation. Now, if you've received help from the message you've been listening to today, and you'd like further spiritual help, drop us a line. We'd be only too happy to communicate with you and be of any service we can. We are servants of the Most High God, and we are your servants too. Let's hear from you. May God stir you up and reach your soul and save you for his name's sake. Now we're going to have a hymn in concluding.
Thank you.
as snow within.